Welcome to the Warsaw Community Church podcast, where you have a chance to listen to our most recent Sunday morning message. Please take a minute and subscribe to this podcast, and if you are interested, learn more about us by checking out our website at www.warsaw.cc. We hope this message inspires you, helps build your faith, and gives you a new perspective on your journey. And now, here's today's message.
Well, today we are continuing on in our series titled Life on Mission. And we have been learning some things about what that looks like and why we should live our life on mission. We've discovered that when we recognize the power of the resurrection, the hope of the resurrection, that although we didn't see that, we've actually seen the effect of the resurrection in our own lives because we've placed our faith in Christ. We've learned that each one of us has a mission bigger than ourselves, not just to live our life the way we want to, but actually connecting it to God's mission. To live our life on purpose, to live with intentionality of recognizing that we are His messengers, each one of us. That He sends us out into the world, into our communities, into our homes, into our neighborhoods, to where we work, and to live our life with meaning and purpose. And the way that that happens is to actually be aware and understand that we are the messengers of reconciliation. We are the people that God is sending out there so everyone can hear about how to be reconciled, how to be made right with God, have their sins forgiven, and have eternal life. We think of what that would look like if we all did that. How light going out into this community and even into the world, what would that look like if we all were living that life on mission? And so we're going to continue that theme. We're going to take a little bit of a turn. And obviously, we are starting our global missions inside of this ministry because they are one and the same. God doesn't have a different plan for here and something else for over there, wherever that over there is. And I love the fact that we have partners, missions partners, that represent us, represent Him in the worlds that they're living in, the countries that they're living in. And love to see each one of these. And these flags represent the countries that we have partners working in. But we're also going to talk about all those countries that we're not. We're going to talk about the plan that God has to have the whole world reached with the gospel. Nothing more important. Nothing more significant. So, I'm going to lay out for you this morning, because we're going to do three things, and I can usually only do one. So this is going to be hard for me and maybe you. We're going to look at the road to Emmaus, and we're going to see after the resurrection, Jesus coming alongside two of His disciples. We're then going to look at the Great Commission. We're going to be in Acts, and we're going to look at the last words that Jesus spoke before He ascended up to heaven. And then we're going to ask ourselves a pretty hard question. How well are we doing with this life on mission? How well are we doing fulfilling the Great Commission? So those are the three areas we're going to be looking at. But we'll start with the story that happened on the day that Jesus raised from the dead. He's been resurrected. And now He sees two people walking, and they are talking intently. And they're going to Emmaus, about a 7-mile walk. And they're going there, and they're deep in conversation, and Jesus comes up alongside them. And we find this in Luke 24, verses 17. It says this. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." I actually think Jesus did know what was happening the last few days. But anyway, what things, Jesus asked? Wants to know what they know. The thing that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they said. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles. He was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. You see the irony in their statement there? They knew what had happened. They understood what had happened, and they saw Jesus die. Now, he's been resurrected, and they don't recognize him because God didn't want them to see who he was yet. And that's the question they ask. We thought, we were wrong is what they're saying. We thought he was the Messiah, the Redeemer, the one who was going to save Israel. Guess what? He was, and he had just done it. So how is it that people that knew Jesus, walked with Jesus, spent time with Jesus, followed Jesus in his earthly ministry, and now as soon as he's crucified, they're walking on a road and they tell a stranger, who they didn't know at the time was Jesus, and they say, we thought he was the Messiah. How'd they miss it? Well, how do I miss so many things that God is doing in my life? How do you miss what God's doing around you and in your life? Because we want him to do it a different way. They wanted Jesus to free them from the Roman tyranny so he could be back to Israel and we could have our own king and we could pay our own taxes and we could get ahead and we could live comfortably and we could have freedom of religion. And they were thinking about a physical Messiah. They were wanting the physical things. The best thing that ever happened to this entire world, the best thing that ever happened to them had just happened. Christ was risen from the grave. He was alive, and now we can all have peace with God. But they missed it, as we often do too. Let's continue on. Verse 22. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them, Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, you foolish people, you find it hard to believe all the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets and explained from all scripture the things concerning himself. So they knew the stories. They knew about Moses. They knew about the prophets. They knew that Jesus, they should have known that Jesus was going to have to suffer to redeem the world, to die and pay the penalty of our sins. In fact, the Old Testament is really understood only through the cross. Have you ever read something in the Old Testament and thought, what in the world is happening? Like all the time? Like there's stuff in there that apart from the cross, apart from the person of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, that doesn't make sense. It didn't make sense to them then, and it doesn't make a lot of sense to us now. It's only through the lens of looking back through Christ and the cross that we can have an understanding. There's a picture I want you to look at. And see, guess what story this is? It's not a trick. Abraham and his son Isaac, right? You know the story? I don't know what we teach in Sunday school or what I learned. I don't remember saying, well, we go to the end of the story and it makes sense. But did you know God said to Abraham, take Isaac up on that mountain and sacrifice him to me? Does that make sense to anybody in this room? I hope not. Right? Like that's what God said. And so he did. He believed God and did what God said, and this was the promised one. The whole world's going to be blessed through Isaac. It's through him, and so what is going on? But Abraham goes, and then through the cross, and go ahead and put it on the other side of the slide. That we know this, that through the eyes of the cross now, we know God was having him do that for us. Yes, for Isaac. Yes, for Abraham. Yes, for the Jewish people. But for all of us, so that we could actually see clearly that what happened in that story was God provided a ram that was caught in the thicket. And that ram took Isaac's place. And that ram shed its blood and died. And Isaac lived because of that ram. See, the understanding of the Old Testament is found in the New. Augustine, a great theologian, said this: in the Old Testament, the new is concealed. In the new, the old is revealed. Thinking about Andy Stanley, who recently made some comments about the Old Testament, and he's taken quite a bit of heat from it. But what I think he was saying, or what I would say about the Old Testament, is that's not where you necessarily start with people. Right? That's what Andy's trying to say. But Scripture here is kind of saying something else. The understanding, yes, go to the Old Testament, but understand it through the lens of the cross. When Karen and I were in Papua New Guinea and we were there as missionaries working with people who had nothing, that's exactly where we started, in the very beginning. But we were teaching and walking through the Old Testament with the lens of the cross, through Christ, that the prophets make sense. It's understandable that we see themes of grace and love and redemption. It's one story, start to finish. And we're part of that story. Do you think those two disciples, as they were walking on that road, realized or recognized that they were going to be, the conversation they were going to have was going to be recorded in God's Word? I'm thinking no. What about you? As you're walking, talking, living your life, going to work, going home, out in the yard, do you recognize your story? May not be recorded in God's Word, but it is being recorded. That we think we're just going someplace. That's so often that is how we live. That's how we think. But God is calling us to live a life on mission. Not our mission. Not our purposes. Not our goals. Real purpose. His purpose. Of taking the message, to take His grace and His love to people all around us who don't know Him, that desperately need to know what He did for them. You are on a mission. And no, it's probably not going to get written down in Scripture, but it's being seen. And that's how we should live our life, with that kind of intentionality, that kind of purpose, to recognize that. I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. It's hard for me. I'm sure it's hard for you. But to think about what God is wanting to do in and through you. That's what this series is about. And we talk about missions, typically thinking globally, but the mission is the same. And the way that God's going to accomplish His mission is the same. It's through us. You know, it's kind of a little bit like when Jesus was explaining to the two disciples, you know, why don't you understand? It's me. It's Jesus. Do you see me? This had to happen. It's written over and over. It had to happen this way. And they couldn't understand it because they were expecting a different kind of Jesus, a different way for Jesus to work. How often is that us? I know you have people in your life that you care deeply about, and you pray for them, and you're hoping someone else will share with them. You hope someone else will reach out to them and carry the messiness of that life and that messiness of whatever they're going through in that situation. You're hoping someone else will. Maybe a pastor, wouldn't that be great? Maybe a counselor could wade into those things. Maybe someone else will share the hope of the gospel with them. We often are looking for Jesus to do something, and He does it in an entirely different way. And it may not make sense. The other way that He's chosen is you and me. If you thought about the impact we could have as the light goes out and we become salt and light light to those around us. Think of how many places in this community, in this county, that are represented just in this service. And it might not make sense. Man, why didn't he pick better people than us? I don't know. I only know he picked you and he picked me to take his message, that message of reconciliation. So, let's go to Jesus' last words. This is about 40 days from when he walked on the road to Emmaus with those disciples. 40 days later, now people have seen him, and they don't wonder now when they see Jesus. They know he's been resurrected. He is alive. He has the power over death. And this is what his very final words were. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The Great Commission. We know how important the last words that someone speaks. These are the final things that Jesus says, and then he ascends up to heaven, and then they're told, hey, stop looking up, get to work, start living your life on mission, let's go, Judea, Samaria, we got to go to the whole world, uttermost parts of the world. He's going to come back someday, in the same way that he just left. Now, why hasn't he come back yet? Seems like it'd be a pretty good time, wouldn't it? They started after he left, and they waited and got the Holy Spirit, and then they went out, and they started in Jerusalem, and then they went to Judea, and then Samaria, and they were on their way to the uttermost parts of the earth. And think of the context. This is a Greco-Roman culture. This is a dyed-in-the-wool culture. These are philosophers. These are intelligent people. We still read some of their poetry. We read their stories. We read their philosophy. This is a very specific time and place and a culture that was sophisticated. You know what happened to that sophisticated culture? Because those disciples and then people who came to faith in Christ through that, they were living their life on ministry, and they were sharing the gospel everywhere they went. They were planting churches, seeing people come to faith, grow in their faith, and them going out. Acts says they turned the world upside down. In less than three centuries, Christianity had gone all through the known world, starting out with just a handful of broken down people. Let the Spirit of God work in him, knowing that they were living life on purpose and not their own, living life on his mission. They turned the world upside down. They did that without a single vote change, without voting once. They turned the world upside down, not because of all the things they did, but because they took the message of Christ. They turned the world upside down. So how are we doing? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. And what's the last part? Uttermost parts of the earth. The ends of the earth. The ends of the earth. We haven't fulfilled his mission. We haven't gone. We have these flags that represents the places that we're connected with partners in those countries, but you know there's more countries than this in the world, right? I want to have you look at a few slides, and as we do that, I want you to think really not just about, when I say a billion people or 8 billion people, think of real people that you might picture in your mind, a real person. So let's look at the first slide here. Almost 8 billion people in the world. 10% would be defined not by me, but by others as true Christian disciples. And then the nominal adherence, 20%. Access but not responsive, meaning there are people who have had a chance to hear the gospel. Maybe there's a church right down the street. They could go there and hear the gospel, even if their neighbor isn't sharing with them. But they've said, not for me, for whatever reason. But then this group here, this unreached group, is the group I want to talk about. Most of these groups, these 3 billion people in these unreached, are at the ends of the earth. And that's why we still haven't gotten the gospel to them. That's why they still don't know who Jesus Christ is. Next slide. So here's another challenge for us. We have almost 8 billion people, and we send out missionaries. And again, when we say missionaries, we're all on mission, life on mission, right? But these are people that we send someplace else to share Christ with other people. So out of those missionaries, only 1 in 10 work with the least or unreached people. 1 in 10. 10% of the missionaries that are sent, only one out of that 10 actually works with this 3 billion people. Maybe worse than that. One penny out of every dollar that goes into missions goes to support the ministries and those missionaries who are trying to reach 3 billion people. Moms and dads, kids needing the gospel. Did you know that we spend more in this country on Halloween costumes for pets? We spend more on Halloween costumes for pets than we do on foreign missions. Global missions. It is almost funny, isn't it? Like, ridiculous. And I know some of you love your pets. Some of you don't. But can you put that comparison? It just shows you how far off we can get. We're talking about people. Real people with families that are needing Jesus. I know years ago when I was being challenged into missions and I was learning facts like this, and I felt very uncomfortable. And so I kind of put it off. I pushed that thought of going somewhere off, and I did pretty good for a little while. Next slide, please. 7.9, this just does the breakdown. We'll just click through these really quickly. 72% work with Christians, 25% with unbelievers. So even that, 72% of our missionaries are working with us instead of the unreached. 3% of missions worked with the unreached. The number is appalling. It was things like that that just kept burning my heart until finally I said, okay, I'll go. And then I said, I didn't mean it. I mean, I did mean it when I said it, but I don't mean it now. There's a reason these people are unreached. It's because they live at the ends of the earth. Now, I'm not suggesting every one of you should get up and go. In fact, I'm telling Karen specifically, we're not going again. Too old. But I would go back, and we would go back in a heartbeat if we could. There's people that need Christ. And the only way they're going to hear about Him is if some of us will go. And for the rest of us, when they go, we're going to support them, right? We're going to be a part of that mission that God has for us. And maybe my role is right here. Maybe this is my mission field is where I live and work and where I play. Absolutely, every one of us on mission. But we will be sending people to this least reach group of people. Thousands of language groups still waiting to hear the name of Jesus. So we're going to be a part of that, want to be a part of that. So if you have a really uncomfortable feeling in your stomach, speak with me after the service. Because God might be calling you. He might be saying to you, I want you to be one of those that go. Now, to the rest of us, maybe you have an uncomfortable feeling in your stomach because you're thinking, whew, I just got out of that. No, no, no. Guess what you're supposed to do when you leave here? You are going on His mission to reach the people around you. to love them the way Christ loves them, to live life with them and be in those messy relationships with them, knowing that God's grace, grace through His Son, is all we need. So 2,000 years after the Great Commission is given, it's still not done. And I believe that is why Christ is waiting for His return. I want to go ahead and look at Revelation 5:9. And in this verse, it describes something. This mission that we're all on to see people reached with the gospel. There is nothing is important. Nothing even compares to somebody coming to faith in Christ and has eternity with Him. Nothing more important for us as believers to be living our life on this mission. This is going to happen because Christ is building His church, and nothing can stop that. Revelation 5:9 says, "And they sang a new song with these words, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seal and open it. For you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language, people and nation.'"
If you were encouraged by today's message, be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. For more information about the church or help taking next steps, please visit us at warsaw.cc or follow us on any of our social media channels. Thanks for joining us for this message and for listening to the Warsaw Community Church Podcast.